This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 387 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
A little bit of a vacation respite. We just couldn't record for the last couple 3 weeks because of, I had to work. And then you moved, didn't have internet. Yep. And then I was in Texas for work and Wi-Fi at the hotel was not very reliable, but I was also busy every night. So here we are. Be some 4 Mondays since we last recorded. Yeah.
I would like to clarify that it wasn't just that I had moved and I didn't have internet. My computer stuff was packed up in various different boxes and totes. And yeah, it wasn't until just a few days ago that I actually had a regular setup. So
yeah, right.
But now I'm more normal.
Yeah, but here we are. So we're back. If anyone that missed us, I actually, because of what was going on, I don't have a ton to talk about. Like you would think after like 3 full weeks, I'd have like a dozen movies or something.
Pretty much, yes.
I just have 9.
I only have 2, so. But I have a lot of other stuff.
I don't have a ton of other stuff. I know I when I went to Texas, I didn't watch a lot of TV while I was there because I was busy. And then I worked a bunch of evening shifts the week before I went, so I wasn't watching stuff. And then since I've been back, I've been kind of just busy doing stuff, watching some hockey or whatever. So, I mean, I did get some Twilight Zone in on the TV show side of things. You know, I got some Twilight Zone in. Mm-hmm. I have 1 episode left in season 4. I'm happy to have watched season 4 by all means as a completionist, but it has been a struggle. I've talked about it in the past. I've talked about it with my buddy of mine ad nauseum, if you will. And it's just, we're all in agreement that season 4 just isn't that good of the original run. So I know about some episodes coming up in season 5. I'm pretty excited for season 5. So I'm looking forward to starting that sooner than later.
Get away from the bad stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of sad that the whole, you know, 4th season, like there's not, I'm not saying there's not some memorable moments or a memorable episode, but there's nothing that's like, man, I want to watch that episode again. Yeah. So we shall see what happens as I progress down through the years, you know, coming into the 1980s here soon, but I still have season 5 to get through.
You can do it. I know you can.
Oh yeah. I have faith in myself. keeping up on the Connors. It's a fun show.
Okay.
it's about it. I mean, I enjoy it. It's mindless. It's the only sitcom I'm kind of still watching. It's just kind of mindless comedy. It's a bunch of characters you already know, you've known for years. And, like we had kind of talked about a previous episode, they don't know if they're getting renewed for another season or not. The fact that they've had, 6 seasons now is pretty remarkable in itself. But they did film, I guess, the last episode. You were telling me that either or they have 2 different endings depending on the direction of the show.
Yep.
So. What do you got for TV shows?
Oh, so I, once I got things set up, you know, I've spent time like, oh, I'm unpacking, I'm moving, I'm setting stuff up. So I would like throw on my spare monitor here with, a show or something, or, you know, go downstairs and have a show running while I'm unpacking the kitchen, trying to figure out where to put all the plates and dishes and stuff. So I ended up watching a number of them in that respect. I finished season one of Ted, the one based on the movies. Yep. With the teddy bear.
Yep.
Yes. You know, honestly, it's not a bad show. I remember when I first saw that they were doing it, I was like, why bother? And I still think, why bother? It didn't need to be made. I'm not going to hard sell this to anybody. But honestly, the episodes were, what, 45 minutes to an hour each? And they could be decent. I mean, there's definitely some times when it's very groan-worthy, over the top. You know, there's one point where he John doesn't want to be a virgin anymore. He wants to, you know, lose his virginity before he graduates high school. And so yep. his cousin, his older female cousin, gives him the advice like, hey, this girl likes you, just be yourself. And, you know, it's okay that you're a virgin. You don't have to play it up. And of course, Ted gives him the advice. He's like, no, tell her that you've had like a million girls and, you know, you're really experienced because girls want to know that. And his cousin's like, no, they really don't want to know that. No, no, no. Trust me, Johnny. Trust me, Johnny. And so, of course, he tries that and she doesn't like him. And so some of it's a little cringeworthy like that. But honestly, I found myself enjoying the show more than disliking it. So there's only 7 episodes, but again, each episode is probably close to an hour. So yeah, not a hard sell, but it's there. I'm still going strong on X-Men 97. They really have impressed me with how well they're treating the source material, you know, the original one, the original yeah. series, and they're treating it like it's just happening. Like they really picked up at the end of it. You know, at one point Sinister is having a speech with Bastion and he says they're talking about how the villains have been trying to do this since 92. And he's like, yeah, well, you used to be one of those villains. And he's like, yeah, but I evolved unlike the rest of them. So they're not saying, oh, it's been 20 years. It's called X-Men 97 because this is meant to be picking up right in 1997 when the show originally ended its run. Yeah. And they're doing a really good job of it. Really enjoying the stories. Sometimes, again, it's a little truncated, but I don't know. I like it.
Nice.
Let's see.
What else? Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah. Dark Side of the Ring. I've watched the 9 of the episodes out so far. Of this season, the Brutus Beefcake one is definitely the weakest sauce one yet, but it's all good still. Was it there? The sensational Sherry Martel one that was on 2 weeks ago was really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys just work really hard and they do a really good job with the show. And it's just really impressive, quite frankly, of everything they can do and everything they're putting together. Like it's really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you ever go back and watch the 5th episode of Quiet on Set?
I have not watched it yet. I actually forgot about it. Kate doesn't care about watching it, so I do need to watch it. So I'll make it a point.
Gotcha. I had it on my list there.
Yeah. Kate and I have been watching Cold Case. We're on season 6 now.
Ooh.
So
how many seasons are there?
7.
You're almost there.
And I recently had read that they're looking at revitalizing the series or bringing it back for a revival season there.
Do you think that they need to?
I mean, I think it'd be interesting nonetheless. I don't know how, I can't remember how it ends. I mean, so far it's like it's episodic. It's every episode is kind of a standalone story about that cold case of the week. So you bring back that show and it's the same format of cold case of the week. You could run with it. Like they did CSI. I mean, they brought back CSI to a good, you know, for good reason. So Okay. Yeah.
It's good. We're still doing Person of Interest when we go to the gym. Again, this show really is great. You know, it's, you could say that it's a serialized, you know, cop show, kind of like The Rookie or, you know, Law and Order, but they really do have a bigger world picture. And, you know, we're still only in season one and they're tying things back. You know, they, we just had an episode where they go back to one of the first numbers that the guys helped solve that ended up with a pharmaceutical company being exposed. And now their stocks just tanked in this episode. And as a result, there was some insider trading and some hedge funding. And yeah, it's a great show. It's fun to watch these characters, especially like I've seen the whole series, so I know where things are headed, but it's fun to rewatch it and be like, oh, I forgot that this person was there. Or, I forgot that this happened then. And you know, it's all lining up so quickly right now. Yeah. Still one of my top five shows, I think.
What are you watching it on? What streaming service?
Amazon Prime.
I may have to go check that out again.
I watched the entirety of the Knuckles series.
You know, oh, how Knuckles is that? Echidna.
Very similar to the Sonic movies. In fact, spoiler, Sonic and Tails are both in the first episode.
Yep.
Just for a little bit to kind of set up Knuckles on his own thing.
Yeah.
Still Idris Elba. This time he's with Adam Pauly, and they're doing a buddy cross-country kind of thing. It's okay. There were some parts when I found myself like seriously wondering why I was still watching it. But again, I just kind of had it on in the background while I was unpacking. It's not terrible. I'm definitely not going to sell anybody on it. The two Sonic movies were great. I can't wait for the third one. This felt like a little much. It wasn't really necessary. Oh, really? Yeah. So
cash grab.
kinda, yeah. Maybe to keep it still relevant while they're waiting for the third movie to come out.
I thought the production of this series delayed the release of the third movie.
Maybe.
I thought. Yeah. So.
We finished the second season of Extraordinary. I think we did that close to when we were actually, I think we might have still been in the apartment, or maybe it was when we first got over here. But yeah, we How finished season two of Extraordinary. It's great. This show is a lot of fun. It's a British show where everybody around the time they turn 18, maybe a little earlier, maybe a little later, they get a superpower. And some of them are just ridiculous. You know, some are basic, like flight. It's fun to see some of the ridiculous ways that they come up with things. Like her mom's power is that she can control technology, but her mom doesn't understand how technology works. So she can control a TV or a smartphone, but she doesn't understand how they work. So she's not good at it. Different things like, you know, somebody who can phase through walls, but he gets anxiety. So his power will cut out in the middle of it. He's like stuck halfway in the wall. Somebody who can rewind time by 1 minute. So very situational.
I'd say so. Jeez, bro.
Yeah. He actually broke his power trying to prevent his girlfriend from breaking up with him. It was in one night and he kept over and over again, like trying to say the right thing, do the right thing, prevent her from breaking up with him. And he did it so much that he actually lost his power. So, yeah, it's a fun show. I really enjoyed it. I the second season brought some new twists, and they left it on a huge cliffhanger going into the third season. If we get a third season, I don't know. But
well, speaking of third season, I have now watched the first four episodes of Resident Alien season four, season three.
Same.
I
mean. Same. Now that we're all caught up.
Yeah. Real happy to have the show back. It's absolutely freaking hilarious. Alan Tudyk is hilarious. I just love watching his character. I don't know. I'm just so happy he's got this role so we can enjoy him.
Yeah. Now, did you find that you had to go like read a recap or something? Because I mean, there was a lot of stuff as I was rewatching the first two seasons that I'm like, oh crap, I forgot about that.
Not really. I mean, they did a previously on Resident Alien at the beginning of the first episode that was a little extended, but otherwise, like, they before each episode they remind you what they want to remind you about before the episode plays.
Yes, they're good about that, and I say air quotes good because you and I have talked about that before, especially with Supernatural. You know, when the episode would start, and you'd see an old character that hadn't been, like Loki. They'd show you flashbacks of Loki and you're like, oh great. So he's going to be in this episode. Like they kind of spoil the episodes when they do that.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. Yeah. When they remind you something about something very specific, you're like, well, we're going to see this in this episode.
Yep. And I get it. Like in your case, it's been over a year since you watched it. So that does help. But if you're watching it week to week, and they're doing a recap of the week before, or they're doing a recap where they're telling you about, remember this character from the first season? Oh, okay, well, I guess they're coming back. It's the same thing with the, I saw a lot of discourse on this about Fallout, but when they do the special guest star in the beginning of the episode, you see that name pop up and you're like, oh, okay. Like if it's Law and Order, that's the murderer.
Yep. Yeah.
So it can kind of ruin a story for you, kind of ruin an episode, because you're looking for that person.
What show that we used to watch that did that perfectly? Where they would do it at the, like when they want to surprise you, the character, and then they would do their name at the ending, at the end of the episode. I know Buffy did it.
Yep.
But there was a show recently that we watched that was really good at it.
Oh, there was, and I don't remember what it was. But it's really like.
It wasn't Mr. Robot, was it?
It might have been.
Or the Judy Comer and show. What was that?
Killing Eve?
Yeah. I think it might have been Mr. Robot.
It might have been. Because I think that would make more sense. I just rewatched that.
Wasn't there? Okay, hold on. There was one show we watched where they showed the special guest or whoever it was, the surprise person. And right after they showed them and their scene got over, they actually put up on the screen their credit. Remember
yes,
that?
Was I do that? Remember
no,
that.
No, dude, it was Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. Legends of Tomorrow did that.
Yep. When they stopped taking themselves so seriously, that was great.
Yes, they didn't like they would never have the special guest star in the opening credits, and like halfway through the episode, they made their appearance.
Yep,
and then it said, you know, special guest, you know, whoever it was, and it was just right. Like, okay, yes, it was Legends of Tomorrow. That's the one I'm thinking of where they did a good job with that.
They did. They did a good job.
You know, with a lot that show really did become awesome when they stopped taking themselves seriously.
Absolutely. It was one of the best decisions that they ever made.
It was legitimately the whole Return of the Mac episode where they did the Return of the Mac as he was killing everybody dancing to the song. And then the whole like giant Bebo finale that like on paper sounds terrible. And then you watch it, you're like, this is amazing.
Yep. Yeah. I guess the cast, I was going to say the staff, the cast honestly thought that they were going to get, that they were going to get shit on because of that.
Yeah. Nope. Opposite. So Resident Alien, going back to that, cause I'm about to, I almost went on a real long sidetrack. You know, we've watched the four episodes. Harry is working for General McAllister part-time to help figure out why the gray aliens are there to eliminate them. So that's an ongoing story across the episodes. At the end of episode 3, Blue Avian arrives, come through a portal to let Harry know that he's broken galactic law by refusing to leave Earth against the gray's orders. And he's going to be basically like, ported, if you will.
Also, like she said that, but
yeah,
wasn't when he was talking to the gray alien as well, the hybrid, he was saying that revealing himself to humans was also a violation of the Galactic Code. And she didn't seem to have any like say on that. She revealed herself pretty easily.
Well, only because she thought that because the portal malfunctioned and she didn't come through
in human
form like she thought she was going to. And they didn't and they didn't know technically that Harry had revealed himself to humans. Yeah.
Gotcha. That makes more sense.
I thought the episode where they took Old Faithful and they made it like, oh yeah, the grays are tunneling out from beneath. It's going to send water into this chamber and it's going to basically make like a hydrogen bomb or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's going to like how I like how they were using like science to say like, and whether it's valid or not, it seems valid. So I like that.
And we've seen in the, like in that whole arc there with Goliath, we saw in the future that the Earth is just desolate. There's no plant life. Everything is cracked and destroyed. And so that lines up with what was happening here.
I love that Harry is Harry. You know, like, how did they do this without us knowing? Because humans are stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, how can we trust you, alien? How can we trust you not to talk to the other aliens? How can I trust you not to talk to the other generals? I am working with the other generals. Aha, see? But I think my favorite is when he realizes that he loves what's her face? Not the blue alien. That's hilarious.
Yes. Oh my god. Asta.
Right, there we go. He loves Asta. And as long as Asta's around, he's not going to do what he needs to do because he'll want to do is protect her because he cares for her so much. And so his solution is I'm going to have to murder her. So that way I don't have any, you know, because if she's dead, then I won't stop me from saving billions of people as opposed, you know. And so he goes to murder her, but he can't do it. And she's just like, oh, no, it's OK. I get it. This is just you. Like she's so accepting of his logic. It was like when,
because over the past couple seasons, she's had a chance to see that logic in play many, many times.
Yeah. It's like when she's trying to explain to, Darcy, you know, when Harry says something and she's like, oh, Darcy, you need to understand now that's, he doesn't understand emotions like us. This is just how he is. Like he doesn't mean it. He's just, you know, I enjoy that. I enjoy the interactions. I like how the characters play off each other. The story's kind of going well. I was sad to see the little girl leave the show, which, by the way, those kids don't look little anymore.
No, they aged up hard.
Yeah, they did. Holy cow.
Yeah, but I was sad to see Samar go, too.
I was sad to see her leave the show after episode one. His new friends are, we haven't really got to know them yet, but
they seem okay.
Yeah. But I just think it's funny that she's looking out for him so much. She's like, I'm going to help you meet new friends before I leave.
Yeah. It's funny, before I had even gotten a chance to watch the third season, on spending any amount of time on TikTok, there was an audio going around and it was from the show, which was awesome. It's the scene when Max rescues them from the gray alien apartment, you know, and he's like, how did you get in? His security's impenetrable. The door was unlocked. Son of a bitch. Everywhere you turned on TikTok, people were using that for different videos. It was great.
That is funny.
I actually felt bad for, oh God, I just blanked on her name. The bar fly there.
Yes. Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, I just had it and then I lost it. But yeah, I actually felt bad for her getting dumped by the sheriff.
Yeah,
she was really over the top.
Yeah, she really did. Yeah, it was a little exciting. Judy,
there you go. Yeah, just like I know it was last season, it was the end of last season, but I was really happy to see Darcy finally find out that he's an alien. And again, the characters in this show are so well written. The dialogue, the banter, everything is just so spot on. It was great to see her like see that he's an alien and then turn around and go, oh, thank God, that's your secret. Okay, we're cool now.
That's what it is. And I like in episode 4 when she walks in, hey, Harry, I brought you these pretzels. Well, they're in my vehicle. Yeah, I ate most of them. Hey, I brought them inside. And then, like, the alien technician for the portal's there, and he's just like, what the frig? And she's like, huh. And then Harry's like, yeah, that's not... And she's like, well, you see one alien, it's earth shatter. It's crazy. But by the time you see your third one, it's like, whatever, it's Tuesday. Yeah.
I hope we don't drag out the story of Mayor Snowflake and his wife and the baby slash abduction too much longer.
They keep shoving it in there.
Yeah, they keep like shoving in little bits of it here and there. And I feel bad for them, especially where she's starting to go a little nuts. I hope that there's some kind of resolution soon so that they can move on and we can kind of close that chapter.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that'd be a good thing to finish up. So. It's a funny show. There's some great funny moments and some very serious moments.
Yeah.
You know, like Asta and her daughter kind of bonding some more and... I don't know. I just like how everyone's so accepting of who Harry is, like Asta's father, you know, Darcy, Asta, of course, and just kind of everyone involved. And how is it that the gray human alien hybrid has never heard of Mork and Mindy?
When they were doing that, I was just like,
yeah, this is great. I just love that his name is Mork. He's from the planet Ork. I haven't heard of that planet. Da, 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 da. Cut to something out. Cut back. So that's what this. So Mindy really is the leader of the two then. Like, you know, it's like they're in conversation. So now, I like how they ran that one together. I thought that was pretty good. Let's see here. We have all 8 episodes up. And I'm good with that. I'm looking forward to the love affair between Heather. Oh, it rhymes with feather. I get it. You know, I didn't realize it when I picked the name. Like, oh. I like it. It's a great show.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're getting caught up. We've only got 4 episodes left, which is good, but also sad.
Yeah. The only other show I think I have to talk about is that I watched is Fallout.
Now, you had finished season 2 of Invincible, but I don't think that we actually talked about
it. Okay, yeah, okay, if we haven't talked about it yet. So, yes, Invincible season 2. I did finish that up. I wasn't real happy with the finale, with the way it ended.
Please elaborate.
It didn't end on a cliffhanger. It just ended like any old episode.
Yeah.
You know, like sincerely, that's it. You know, it's just ended like any old episode. Yeah. You know, like, so Alan's alive. That's awesome. I liked Alan a lot. They brought him back and he's now stronger than he's ever been. And so the plan they have is he gets himself captured by the Vitramites so he can release Nolan. Nolan's like, no, I deserve to die. But like, I feel guilty about what I did on Earth, which is weird because I shouldn't feel that way as a Vitramite. And Viltramite. And he goes, and I miss Debbie. And like, that's kind of how it ends. Like, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
I was very pissed off, though, at the beginning of the episode because we have Angstrom there. Okay. Yes. And yes, I know he's crazy. Yes, he's an amalgam of all the different multiverse of Angstrom. He wants to kill Mark because in every universe, Mark turned to the dark side with his father and they've taken over the Earth. And so he just assumes Mark's evil everywhere. And I don't like how Oliver and Debbie are tortured, if you will.
Mm.
And to me, the fight between Angstrom and Mark went on too long with him sending him to different planet worlds and everything. It just was excessively long. And then, you know, like the last world they ended up in together and Mark kills him because he thought he was stronger and he could take the beating, but he wasn't. And then Mark's like, well, I'm just going to wander for the rest of my life. No, because it's Back to the Future. So the hero, the rescue squad shows up immediately, basically.
Yeah. I mean, they did throw in that line there that it took them 30 years to figure out which alternate universe he was in and at what point.
Yes. Yes. Yes, it did. But for Mark, it was not long at all.
Right. Right. He has some genuine angst going on there. Not, okay, pun intended, because Angstrom. Thinking of, like, they did essentially a shot-for-shot remake of his dad beating him almost to death versus him beating Angstrom to death.
Yes, they did. That was kind of a cool editing.
So now he's coming to grips with the fact that he is capable of what his dad is capable of. Like, he is a killer. And he was so mad that he let go and killed this guy. And so now he's got to grapple with that, which is rough. Also, the whole, like you said, you know, the superheroes show up and you see these guys who are now 30 years older, knowing full well that one of them is not Rex, but that's actually Rudy. And Eve is older and basically tells him, I've loved you all this time. You need to go there and tell her. Either tell her that you love her or tell her that you don't, but tell her something. And he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
She clearly messed with the timeline to give him direction and say she needs this one way or the other. And he's like, but I don't want to.
I don't know. Maybe he will next one of the first episodes of next season.
I hope so. I hope it's not one of those that they drag out the whole time with him knowing the secret and like, do I say something? Do I not say something?
It would be annoying. It would be annoying, quite frankly. Very.
Yeah. But what did you think of the battle where essentially the Guardians of the Globe got annihilated? Like, several of them died, but then technically,
well, didn't. None of them died. Ultimately, you thought Multi-Girl died because her character kept getting ripped apart, duplicate, whatever. And then the actual last version of her, if you will, was smashed together with another one, and face was caved in and just destroyed, mutilated. Mm-hmm. And then the shrinking girl got swallowed, eaten, and then Rex got shot in the head.
Yep.
So that's how the episode ended. Like, basically all of them were killed. And then the next episode, Rex is alive, somehow survived the gunshot wound to the head. And then the shrinking girl is alive, but in a coma in the ICU or whatever. And then a couple episodes later, we find out that Duplicate's alive, that she, number one on the shirt was not the original, but a duplicate.
Yeah.
Because the one with the zero on her shirt, who is the original one, couldn't take dying every day anymore.
So basically she hid out as like a guarantee.
Fail safe?
Yep.
Yeah, so I was pretty surprised that they were all killed like that.
But then technically they weren't.
But then the next episode, technically none of them, well, the two of them weren't. And then after, finally, we find that Duplicate's alive. But they'd have a funeral for her and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the Immortal basically took off because now he doesn't know what he's living for. But then she's back. So does that mean he's going to come back, or are they just going to stay hidden off?
I think they're going to stay hidden. I think they're going to stay hidden. I thought it was interesting that Debbie was so quick to become a mother to Oliver.
She was reluctant at first, but then it kind of, like, she needed somebody, you know. She couldn't get she couldn't get into the support group because as soon as they found out who her husband was, they wanted nothing to do with her. Mark's away at college or in space. Fuck Cecil. So I think it was kind of inevitable. She may have hated the fact that it was Nolan's with another entity being.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm not surprised that she went that way.
I mean, yeah, I can see it. I can see it. Because no matter how shitty Nolan was, she saw 20 years with him where that she loved him and they were, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I thought the ending of the episode was kind of just after, especially how the beginning opened up and went so long.
Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell you, during the Knuckles show, they have bowling is a big thing. There's a big tournament in Reno, Nevada. And the two commentators make mention that they are on ESPN 8, the Ocho.
I like that.
I loved it. So before you said Fallout's the only other one that you've got, I will say that allegedly, we're done with the third season of Ghosts because they had the 10th episode and it seemed kind of like a season finale. And IMDb is not listing anything beyond that. They are listing a new episode for season four, episode one. But I know this happened last time too, where it felt like it was a season finale. And then all of a sudden, we got like 8 more episodes. So I don't know. The show is great. They've had some big new developments this year. I'll be interested once you start watching it to talk about some of these things, because obviously I'm not going to do spoilers here, but I still enjoy this thoroughly. Every episode is just gold. So yeah, very much enjoying that.
What I'll probably do is, is next month sometime, get a month of Paramount and watch it.
We watched the first 3 episodes of Baby Reindeer on Netflix.
Oh, how that's right. It's a TV show. How was that?
That is a hard show to watch. Like,
it's not good.
No, it's uncomfortable. Like, this is so this was a comedian who was stalked in real life by this woman. And so he created this show with Netflix to kind of talk about it. It's not done in realistic fashion. You know, it's like watching not a sitcom, but you know, it's watching a drama. And but all this stuff really happened according to him. And it can be uncomfortable to watch. Like she's a stalker and a very aggressive one at times, not violent, but aggressive. Yeah. We basically stopped after 3 episodes and we're like, we need a palate cleanser. We need to like watch something that's going to make us feel a little bit better about life. So yeah, probably we'll go back and finish watching it. It is a limited series rather than a full TV show, but yeah, I'll update you more on that. Similarly, we've watched the first 3 episodes of Dead Boy Detective Agency, the one that takes place in the Sandman universe.
How's that?
Sometimes it's great.
Oof.
And sometimes it's not. And it's not that it's bad. We were talking about this the other night. It's not that it's a bad show when it's bad. It's just I want to like it more. I want it to be better at what it does. The supernatural aspects are really cool. You know, it's definitely got a lot of, supernatural in it. You know, they talk about ghosts being affected by iron, like they get hit with something iron and it makes them unable to phase through stuff for a little bit and it hurts them. They've got different creatures, like they encounter dandelion sprites and a witch who violently performs an experiment on her raven. There's a lot of good supernatural elements to it, but then there's also a lot of a lot of exposition. Like they'll hit you over the head. Like you'll see something happen on the screen. You're like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. And then they'll say it. They'll be like, this is going to happen now. And you're like, why did you say that? Like, just show it to me.
Yeah, I started watching the first like 10 minutes of Rebel Moon 2. And there was so much exposition going on. I was like, I just can't do this right now.
You reminded me I have to watch that at some point. So we're going to keep watching that one. It's still enjoyable. I think you'd like it. I think you'd like quite a bit of it. We picked up Sex Education. Now, I had seen the first two seasons. I never even started season three or four. But when we were watching Baby Reindeer, we needed a palate cleanser. We were looking through some of our stuff to watch. And Julia's like, well, you keep mentioning Sex Education. Let's watch it. That show is so damn good. And the thing is, like, there are episodes where you're laughing your ass off and then you're suddenly like gut punched. Like, some of the stuff that happens in here is the writing is spot on, the dialogue, the banter, it's so good. And they'll have some storylines that are funny as hell. And then all of a sudden, you know, like Eric getting jumped by those guys on his way home, walking home from Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And he's dressed all in drag, essentially, and getting jumped by those guys. We just watched the episode. I think it's like the first or second episode of season two where Amy gets wanked on the bus. You know, the guy comes up behind her and just starts rubbing one out and ends up jizzing on her jeans.
That's gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Phenomenal show. That's so gross. Loving it. Loving it. Julie is over the moon about it. She's loving it. So having a lot of fun there.
Nice.
And I know that that one only has four seasons and that they knew that the fourth season was going to be the final one. So they got a proper, you know, ending to it.
Proper
so
I'm looking closure.
Forward to that. Yeah. Cause I, like I said, I've never watched season three or four.
Nice.
Otherwise I think that's it other than Fallout.
Have we talked about Fallout at all?
I don't remember.
I think you gave me a high level, like, overview.
Yeah.
But I don't think we went into any detail.
Yeah, I think I had watched the first four episodes and you hadn't watched any yet. So I was just like, yeah, keeping it brief, but.
Yeah. And I don't know how big of a deep dive I want to do because it's all eight episodes.
Mm-hmm. So you did watch all eight?
Yes, I watched all eight. I have never played any of the video games, so I have no idea what's true to the games, what's not true to the games, what's a nod to something in the games. Well, I have no idea what its connection to the games are, how the characters are in the games compared to the TV show. I only know the TV show.
Okay.
I don't care to know the games. I think Walter Goggins is absolutely amazing in his role on this show, on playing the ghoul and Cooper Howard, because it's literally two completely different characters.
Yep.
I like the story of how, like, we don't find out how he becomes the ghoul or a ghoul, but I love the back and forth on his story and his wife and his relationships and how he's basically the thumbs up guy from the Fallout. Like, I like all of that storyline. I know we do see in here how the one guy becomes a ghoul. You know who I'm talking about?
I'm blanking.
He becomes the squire.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Pemberton.
Yes.
Yeah, he becomes the squire to Maximus, but it's not who they think it is. Anyways, I like his character, and we kind of see him become a ghoul, but it's not really explained, other than he drank a potion, and then his buddy's like, I think you're a ghoul now. And he's like, oh, man. You know, like, otherwise, we don't know. We know that, like, the ghouls have to have this medication, if you will, to not go
feral.
That's the word to describe it. I was thinking zombie, but yeah, feral. So I do kind of wish, and maybe they will in the next season, but I wish we could have, I wanted to know more of Cooper Howard's story. I don't feel like I got enough in this season.
Oh, there's definitely more, I'm sure. Like, they built so much of his story into this that I can't imagine that they're not going to give us a ton more.
Yeah, I'd love to get some more explanation and everything. I really liked Lucy's character, Ella Purnell. I liked Lucy McLean. I liked her a lot. I liked her naivety, but not so much that she didn't know nothing was going on the surface, because she's been training for this her whole life, if you will. I like how the story of Vault, the vaults of the Vault Tech, and how they came to be, and Cooper's wife, and everything involved. I really do like the pace of how the story unfolded. I thought that story they fed to us, they fed that to us very well, as opposed to, you know, but again, I'm really curious what's going on in Vault 31, what happened in Vault 32, like all of that. Like, it just seems really interesting to me that Vault 31 is supposed to be people from 100 years ago. 200 years ago that got put in cryogenesis, if you will. And they're now in this world, and they've been woken up to be in this world, if you will. But they all seem very just, oh, okay, that's just what it is. This is what we're doing.
Yeah. Well, I think before they were frozen, they were told what was going to happen. They were like, you're going to be overseeing these vaults. You're going to be keeping the status quo, because this is how we're going to have perfect people and repopulate the Earth and, you know, fight back against the radiation and such.
Yeah. But it's just interesting that, like, Lucy going to the other vault, when she ends up in that other vault, kind of learns what their isolated life was even more so. Or the fact that the Earth had a population again. Like, in her mind, they've been living underground for 200 years because they couldn't come to the surface yet. Except yet 20 years ago, the surface was fully populated and had rebounded and everything else, until the Vaultees nuked it again.
Yep, Vault-Tec didn't like what they were doing there, Shady Sands.
But yeah, I enjoyed the story. I enjoyed the characters we met along the way. I'm not a hater because I played the video games. I don't think I'll ever play the video games. But yeah, I mean, that's my high overview with some scattered details here and there.
I thought that it was a very brutal world, and I was glad that they showed that. You know, they showed a lot of the blood.
Yes,
that got
it brutality. Was a brutal world. Yeah, using teeth for bullets. You know,
yeah, the whole junk gun.
Yes, the whole standoff thing where Lucy's just trying, like, look, you go your way, we'll go our way. Let's just walk by each other with our hands up, and we can just continue on. We don't have to do anything.
Yep.
And, you know, no, we just need to kill him. Like, it's definitely I do like that through all the violence and brutality that Lucy has been through, she still hasn't lost her hope of belief of people ethics. Are good.
Actually.
Yeah. Yes, ethics. Yeah, ethics is better. But yes, you're right. It's a very brutal world.
Do you think, I know that people have said this, do you think that Squire's knifed her own boot?
All right. So my browser crashed. So you were saying, did I find it interesting?
No, I was asking, even though we've already heard it, we've already seen, you know, confessions as it were. Do you think that the, cadet there, the Squire, knifed her own boot, you know, stuck the razor blade in her own boot? Because, you know, Maximus got blamed for it, but then later on she said, I did it myself.
I don't think he did it. I think maybe somebody else did it, but I think she said that because he was getting blamed.
Okay. I had my suspicions about that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, as somebody who has played the games, I love this. I thought it was great. The very end sequence, we see New Vegas, which was one of the most popular Fallout games that they had. So people are very excited to go there. I'm not going to get into it, but there were people who were worried about the what's considered the canon ending of New Vegas versus what we're seeing here. They've already assured us, the creators of the show and the games have already assured us not to worry about it. So it's all going to be good. no, I thought this was great. Oh, I think the other call just hung up. I thought the show was great. I thought the characters were so well done. The world felt alive. You know, it really felt like it. And there are so many things that we still haven't seen. Like, we got to see the bear, but we haven't seen the giant mosquitoes. You know, you've seen the rad roach. You haven't seen the giant mosquitoes. They haven't shown any of the mutants, which mutants are kind of, picture the Hulk, you know, big, green, but eloquent. They can speak. Some of them are a bit Neanderthalic, but we haven't seen any Deathclaws, which those, I'm hoping that they're saving that for like a, this is the stuff nightmares are made of kind of thing. Cause they were considered like the apex predator. But overall, I saw a take the other day, and this is not my take. This is somebody else's stuff. So I'm not claiming credit for it, but it was so cool. The guy talked about, he said, we need to recognize how all three of the main characters, Lucy, Maximus, and the ghoul, essentially got their wishes in the most monkey paw way imaginable. Like, Cooper said back in the day that he wanted to give up all of this and go be a real cowboy again. Well, he got his wish. He's a cowboy as the ghoul.
Yep, that's true.
Lucy wanted to find her father and not lose her morals along the way. She did, but she found out that her father's a piece of shit and doesn't have the same morals.
Yep, and she definitely did not lose her morals along the way. That's the other thing. How is her mother still alive 200 years later?
She's a ghoul, although she's a feral.
But, and also, she's dead now. Also, the other woman, the one that was the, like the leader of the Hollywood group, if you will, is not a ghoul, doesn't look like a ghoul, looks in great shape, but
was she
frozen too?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lucy's mom was cryogenically frozen. I think she was one of the generations of people. So, you know, every so often they would wake up a new person to be the new overseer of vault. Yeah. And I think she was just one of the people who was in there, and dad was like, hey, I like you. But Maximus wanted to be a knight of the Brotherhood, and he became a knight of the Brotherhood. But along that path, the Brotherhood has changed a lot and seemed to be going in a very different direction than he anticipated. So, yeah, he got to be a knight. Does he really want to be one now, though?
I mean, I would say no, probably.
Probably.
No logical answer.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was a really good take. Like, they all, in this season, got what they wanted, but probably don't like the way that they got it.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, love the show. Cannot wait for the next season. And again, this was another one of those, before the first season had even aired, they were like, hey, we're already working on the second season. No, they probably shot and completed the second season while they were doing the first season, because it's more economical that way.
Yeah. Makes sense that they did it that way.
Yeah.
Movies?
I think so.
All right. So I got some new to me. I got some brand new. But the first thing I'm going to talk about is Kate and I finished watching the Centennial miniseries. This is the largest, grandest miniseries I have ever watched in my life.
Wow.
It is 12 episodes, where each episode is essentially a feature-length film. In total, the 12 episodes is 1,256 minutes.
Wow.
Or like near 26 hours. Of TV time. Each, like, episodes 1 and 12 are both 147 minutes, so like 2.5 hours. And episodes 2 through 11 are all like 94 to 99 minutes. So literally every episode as a standalone TV show. The first episode starts in 1756, and the last episode ends in 1978. And it's the 200 years plus of what it becomes a fictional town called Centennial, Colorado. Its creation, the first explorers, the Indians, the trappers, how the town's founded, the railroad comes in, and you're just seeing the progression of all these different families and their lives over this huge time frame. You get attached to some pretty fantastic characters. Some of them meet some horrible ends. None of them, I don't think any of them die peacefully, except for Brumba. Everyone else dies a pretty like tragic or unfortunate death, it seems like, of the characters you like. It's just, it's really well done. It's really good. One of the it was on Stars that we watched it. One of the warnings for each episode is like outdated cultural representation, like as a caution. This contains outdated cultural representation or something like that, you know? But yeah, we enjoyed it thoroughly, but literally every episode is like watching a feature film because it's so long.
Damn.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could handle that.
You know what we got? I mean, maybe not. Cause it's basically a really fancy Western, and I know you're not a Western fan.
Not really.
It's more to it than just that, but yeah, it's damn good.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. Glad you got to see through the whole thing.
Yep. A couple of quick, I've seen them before. But I watched them like either on the airplane or in the hotel or whatever on Netflix. The Ballad of Buster Scruggs. I haven't watched that in quite a while. I watched it on Netflix. That's a very solid, like modern Western type thing that tells a bunch of different stories. I think that was great, as I could watch like a story, shut it off, watch another story, shut it off, if you will. Mm-hmm. On my flight from LaGuardia to Grapevine, Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, I watched Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because it's a 4-hour flight and it's 2.5, almost 3-hour movie. So that was that was good.
Nice.
Great flick. On the flight back, I watched Talk to Me. I haven't watched that in a very long time. You know, the one where you hold the ceramic hand and you see on the other side. Did you ever watch that?
I feel like that just came out recently.
It came out a few months ago. I know I've seen it before.
Okay. When you said it's been a while since I've watched that one, I was like, hasn't been a while since it's been out.
I guess a few months, if you will. But that was solid. I still enjoy it. It was still held up well. I watched the other movie I watched on the flight back was The Iron Claw. I friggin' love that movie. I want to buy it, but at the same time, I don't, because I want to wait to see if they come out with something. Because right now they've come out with is like a regular release version. And I'd like to see if they're going to come out with some sort of fancy version with all kinds of extras, or, you know, if A24 is going to put out a fancy release of it. You know what I mean? I'd rather hold off and get that than buy the basic edition that's out now, I guess.
Okay.
So while I was there on the flight or at the airport or the flight there and hanging around at the hotel and et cetera, I finally watched the novelization. I finally read the novelization based on the original screenplay of Friday the 13th Part 6, Jason Lives.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, it was good. I paid way too much money for the 186-page paperback novel. So the movie, and I watched the movie as well since then, since I've read the book. And back before I went on, you know, back the week before I went to Texas, we haven't recorded since then, I went to the main Toy and Comic Con, and I met CJ Graham, who played Jason Voorhees in Friday the 13th Part 6. And I got something signed, and I got my photo with him, and his, he did a photo op in costume. And he has his costume from the flick and everything with the mask, not the hockey mask, but he has a big like rubber mask that he wears under the hockey mask.
that shows like the deteriorated head or whatever. And he put some effort into this. Yeah, he's in great shape still. He looks good. He put some great effort into this costume. He really didn't do any movies after this. Like, he did the Hell Highway movie there with the Hell Cop. And he's done a couple independent movies since then, but he had a good job at casinos. So until he retired 7 years ago, he really wasn't doing any other movies or fan fests or comic cons or whatever. And then a few years ago, when Kane Hodder did in costume photos with him as Jason Voorhees, he had a makeup artist there and took them 4 hours to get him ready. And he was like, well, wait a second. Mine is like a Vietnam era shirt, pants, boots, the gun belt that I eventually put on in the movie, and then just my rubber mask that I have plus the hockey mask. Like, I can put that on in like 10 minutes. So that's when he started doing the pro photo ops. And what's cool is sometimes he does them without the hockey mask on, so it's just the face that's messed up, like you see in the grave. Sometimes he does it with the gun belt on that he takes off one of the paintballers, because he doesn't have that straight away. And then when he does that, he does the machete. Or he'll do the, I'm just gotten out of the grave, put the hockey mask on, and I have the fence post with the top on it there. So it's kind of neat how he does varied in-costume photo ops. But when he gets that costume on, he is in character. Nice. And he's good to kids, even as Jason. Which is really cool. Not great to adults. He grabbed my beard and pulled it real hard. Anyways. but he's proud of his movie because there's no nudity. The violence is more implied than seen, if you will. Like, you know, the knife just got driven in the guy's ear, and we're going to show you his head falling to the side with the knife sticking out of his ear, but we're not going to show you the knife going in and the blood splattering everywhere or whatever. He feels like, even though his movie is rated R, there's no nudity. There's very little cursing in the movie, and there is violence, but it's not gratuitous violence. So he's like, we're the most, you can watch it with your young teenager or child, and they would, you know, and not, you won't have to worry about it. So he's kind of proud of that. He talked about a couple of fan films, and he doesn't call them fan films because he thinks they're better than that, but they're independent movies that somebody made that were direct sequels to Friday the 13th Part 6. And he references that he plays Elias Voorhees, Jason's father, in them.
Oh.
And Tom Matthews, who plays Tommy Jarvis in Part 6, actually comes back for the sequel to the sequel. So I got to watch these at some point. But in the book, in the movie, the groundskeeper is murdered eventually. And then two other random people are murdered. That are like going to have sex out in the woods, and then they decide not to, and because they hear noises, and they get on their scooter to go away, and they get killed. Their deaths are not in the book. As a matter of fact, the groundskeeper is at the end of the book when Jason's father shows up at the end of the book, which was in the original script. And he can see, and he's looking at his son's, and the groundskeeper is clearly afraid of him. And Jason's father pays the money because he maintains the graves, and he's looking at the grave, and he can like sense something's wrong. And they zap over to, he can sense that his son's actually resting in the lake, if you will. That's how what happens at the end of the movie. You see the movie, you see different parts of the book from Jason's perspective, which was kind of interesting. Like, he talks frequently about his drawing or hunger to kill. Like, he's just told, like, he has this constant drive where, like, he'll kill someone and he'll feel better for, like, a few moments, but then that drive to kill comes back and, like, he's possessed or whatever. And it talked about his childhood a little bit and how he acted as a child. It was interesting. It's definitely a good read if you can find it.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2022.
How was that?
The Netflix one. I like it. I think it's a good movie. It's a direct sequel to the original. Yeah, I don't know. I like it.
Okay.
I think it's a good flick. Let's see here. What is this? I watched a Mel Gibson movie on Netflix called On the Line.
Okay.
And basically he plays a
shock jock named Elvis Clooney, who does like the midnight slot where he's a call-in show and he'll help you in this and that. And some guy shows up with a bomb and is threatening him and on and on and on. And it was okay.
What led you to watching that?
It sounded really cool. Mel Gibson was good back in the day. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like the premise of it sounded really good. Like it seemed like it was really dark and like, you know, this guy, angry guy comes on the air, kidnaps his wife and daughter. He's going to threaten to kill them unless he does X, Y, Z. Like it seemed like a good thriller, you know? I'm not going to spoil the ending by any means, but it was almost like a letdown.
No.
Yeah. I watched The Silencing.
The Silencing.
Yeah. So this has been on my list for quite a while on Netflix. It came out in 2020. It stars Nicola Costas Waldau.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably murdered that name. But yeah. He was Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Anyways, it's a serial killer movie, a slasher movie basically, where this guy used to be this big time hunter killing everything that moves. His daughter's died, and so he's created a sanctuary named after her. Or his daughter's missing, not died, missing. Create a sanctuary named after her is kind of like her honor to, I don't know, pay penance for the disapproving life is that he led based on his daughter's point of view. And then some girls go missing and it's involving his land. And it was really, really good. Like I enjoyed it thoroughly. Like this is one of those like under the radar, good twist, good thriller, some good action, good story, really good story. You should check it out.
The Silencing.
What did you watch for movies?
I only watched two.
Yeah.
Both of them new to both of us, though.
Okay.
The first one was Netflix now has the rom-com Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell.
How was that?
Not good, surprisingly.
Oh, I'm glad I didn't watch it.
Yeah, like I settled in. I was like, yeah, rom-com time. It wasn't a bad movie, but it was not good. It some of the jokes were cringy. Some of the scenes were, you know, very meet the parents, meet the Fockers kind of humor. You know, that, oh, no matter what, yeah, they can't do right. They'd introduce things like, I'll just say that they introduced a thing with the dog attacking a toy fox, that they literally introduced it for the sole purpose of having a cringeworthy gag later on. And it really didn't need to be done that way. There's like a million other ways they could have done it. The characters were highly unlikable, a lot of them. And like mom and dad were so over the top meddlesome until they suddenly weren't. Like it just suddenly flipped a switch and there was no like moment of clarity or them like having their come to Jesus moment or anything. They just suddenly were different people and like, oh, we now support you. And they didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve this redemptive arc, but somehow they got it. It was not that good. It took a lot of tired rom-com tropes and beat them over the head and did them in very lazy ways. I think a lot of it was just done to showcase Glenn and Sydney. Like, here's two young, attractive actors, you know, check them out. And it didn't hit.
That's too bad. What was the other movie?
The other one was midway through our unpacking and moving. We're like, we need to get out of the house. We need to take a break. And so we went to the movie theater and we watched the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Ooh, I want to see that. How was that?
That was good, with an asterisk. I was expecting it to be a lot more over-the-top action killing. There is a lot of tension in this movie. There is a lot of stress. Like, there's timetables, really? And there's, you know, ooh, this went wrong, and this is going wrong. And like, there's a lot of suspense and intrigue in it. And there's still plenty of action. There's still plenty of over-the-top stuff, but it was not what I was expecting in that respect. Like, I thought this was just going to be like a, I don't know, like a murder fest kind of, like Inglourious Bastards kind of thing. And there was, but again, this is based on they say right in the beginning, this is based on true events that were just found out in, I think it was 2016, when Winston Churchill's files were finally declassified. And they even, minor spoiler, but even like as the credits are rolling, they tell you about the characters and like what they went on to do after the events of this movie. So, you know, it's definitely based on true stuff. Get that, but it was still really enjoyable. Came out of it with a lot of anxiety because there was a lot of stress and pressure in there. But yeah, you'll like it. I think you'll like it a lot.
Well, based on the trailer, I thought there was a lot of over the top action killing going on.
Mm. And like, so I said, there is still some.
There isn't.
There is still some, but it's definitely not the main crux of the movie. You know,
well, that's what I mean. Like, I thought that was going to be the whole movie.
No. Like, there's a whole thing where basically they have 14 days to, you know, sail down the coast and get to this harbor. And then, you know, at one point it's like, oh, we might have less time. So how can we get through there? And, you know, these high tension moments where you're like, oh God, will they, won't they? And then they do, or they don't. And yeah, I was surprised at how different it was than the trailer, even though the trailer definitely did show you that they had some good over the top action shenanigans. Alan Ritchson's character honestly was one of the best in the movie. Like, Henry Cavill did a great job as the leader of the group, but Alan Ritchson's character was just phenomenal.
Well, I definitely am looking forward to checking it out. Like, it's a movie I want to watch. So I'll get there at some point.
Nice. I got to say though, like, this was a Saturday night at like 7:30. And I think there was Julia and I, and I think maybe another six people in the theater.
That is not a lot of people.
No. And granted, this was the second week that it was open, but still, it was the second week that it was open.
That's still not a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a positive.
What other movies did you watch?
I got one other movie I watched, and I'm not going to go into deep dive on it. But I watched Late Night with the Devil on Shudder.
Ooh, that did look
and
good.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's one that I want to watch again sooner than later. To give it a good second watch through. But yeah, no, I absolutely loved the movie. I thought it was done really, really well. I thought the story they told was great. I don't know. It was such an original thing. I don't know. I just loved it.
I'd seen a lot of good about it, but nothing in detail. It wasn't like, oh, and it does this, and it does this. Honestly, I know very little about it. Like, and I'm okay with that. I think that it's attractive just on the premise.
Yeah, no, I think it's good to not know a lot about it. I think it's good to go into it with just what you've seen in the trailer and everything, based on what it is. I thought it was really, really, really well done.
Thanks.
And it's I'll probably watch it here in the next couple weeks again. If I hadn't gone to Texas and I didn't have the conference the next 3 days in Portland, I most likely would have watched it again already.
Thanks.
Or if I had Shudder on my TV in Texas, I probably would have watched it down there.
So. Have you ever thought about getting like a Fire TV stick or a Roku stick and taking it with you when you travel?
So I almost brought it with me on the travel this time.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so much stuff and I didn't want to have to check a bag because it cost $35. So, and I couldn't put anything I could bring. So I had my carry-on, my personal item carry-on, and I had my carry-on bag. Mm-hmm. And then I had a third bag in my medical device in my CPAP machine. But mm-hmm. I can't put anything else in that bag besides the CPAP machine because then it becomes another carry-on bag as opposed to a medical device bag.
Mm. Gotcha.
And I know that they're not that big, but I just didn't want to deal with having that much electronics because I already had my work laptop. I had all my chargers. I had my two phones. So I was like, I'm just not going to bring it this time. But like whenever we drive anywhere, I bring it. Like when I went to Albany last year for the APCO conference, when I went to New Hampshire for the APCO conference, I brought it both times.
Okay.
Amazon Fire Stick.
Gotcha.
But yeah. But now that I've flown a couple of times in the last year, I feel a bit more comfortable about it. I'll probably just bring it anyways. Cause like I realize now that I made a bigger deal out of what I brought than what they do. What you did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But that's all the movies for me.
So that just leaves us with news and stuff.
Yeah. And I don't like, we got to go back a ways on this chat here.
April 15th, 8:47 PM. Liev Schreiber is set to reprise his role as Sabretooth in Deadpool and Wolverine. Not surprised.
I'm good with that.
Yep.
I was just reading an article recently that, She-Hulk and Captain Marvel are suing Ryan Reynolds for cutting their cameos from the movie.
I remember seeing something about that a while back, yeah.
Yeah, and Ryan Reynolds was like, but it didn't add to the film. But whatever. All right, the Beavis and Butthead skit on Saturday Night Live was absolutely phenomenal.
So yes, it was amazing. Did you see that those two showed up at the red carpet for the Fall Guy in the same outfit?
Yes. I thought that was genius as well. But I love the Beavis and Butthead skit on SNL. I liked how like the reporter turned around to say, sir, and it's almost like she didn't know what the person was gonna look like on purpose.
Uh-huh.
So that was her initial reaction of just like whipping her head around laughing. But it's just like that was a brilliant skit, quite frankly.
Oh, it was so good. He's like, looks at the other guy and he's like, she wants you to move. Oh, me? Why me? The guy with the exposed gums.
Yeah. Sir. Pamela Anderson's going to be the,
love interest.
Yeah. I can't think of the word. Lisa Marie Presley character. Is it Lisa Marie?
Yeah.
No.
No,
no.
Her mom.
Priscilla Presley, no.
Thank you, yeah. I wanted to say Joanna for some reason.
Yeah, I know, but she's going to be opposite Liam Neeson in The Naked Gun, whatever. I didn't realize Pam Anderson was 56, but I'm 45 almost, so I guess that adds up.
It is odd seeing some of the people who are like, oh, they're this old? That's not possible. Oh, wait, yes it is, because...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, like Kevin Smith's wife is 53 and she has not aged gracefully.
Versus?
That's just it. That's the whole story.
I thought you were going to, versus so-and-so who.
So we watched Centennial and the narrator slash one of the main characters in the final episode is David Jansen, who played the fugitive on the TV show The Fugitive. I was reading, oh, he died like a couple years after this came out, like he died in 1980. And then I'm like, oh my God, this man who looks in his late 60s and sounds it was only 46 years old when he filmed it. And it's just like, holy cow. But He drank heavily and smoked four packs a day and had a massive heart attack at 49 years old and died. So it was, yeah. Let's see here. I already mentioned the Connors.
Yep.
What is this Golden Axe animated series?
Golden Axe, I don't know if you would have remembered that because that was back in your day too. Golden Axe was a, it was an arcade machine. You had like the Valkyrie and the Warrior, not Gauntlet, but it was a side scroller. It was one of the first side scrolling beat 'em ups that really gained popularity.
It's
an old video game. I'll just say it's an old video game. And so they're making that into an animated series for some reason.
Just trying to find a picture of the old stand-up arcade.
Okay.
Version of it. Oh, okay. I recognize the cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I recognize the cabinet.
For some reason, they're going to turn that into an animated series. I couldn't care less at this point, but...
Yeah, no, either right. Guy. Got a TV and adaption of Old Boy coming. All right, cool. I'll watch it.
It's by the original creator, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. I like the original movie. I liked the Josh Brolin remake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With Spike Lee. I thought that was really good.
Yep.
Oh, I hate the stupid quick clickbait headline of Michael Keaton's Batman will finally get a direct sequel. And they keep doubling down on that. I have seen so many headlines of this direct sequel. It's a friggin' novel, okay? It's a book.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but like, I hate to say it's a book.
I see that. Yeah. Christopher Eccleston will be reprising his role as the Doctor, or Christopher Eccleston's Doctor is returning to Adventure with River Song in radio broadcasts.
Right. Yeah. It's just, it pisses me off.
Yeah.
You sent me the trailer for Hitman.
Looks interesting, huh? Glenn Powell, basically, he plays different fake hitmen in police stings because he's an officer. Yeah. And then one of the women who hires him, air quotes, her husband ends up dead. And it looks like he might have done it.
Yeah, no, that looked pretty good. I'm a fan of it. I'll check it. That's a Netflix movie, June 7th, so it's easy enough. let's see.
Transformers 1. So as I said to my buddy Petrie, do I want an origin story for yes? Do I want an origin story for Optimus Prime and Megatron? Fuck yeah, I do. Do I want it in this format? No.
No. No, not at all.
No, this is dumb. This is like Beverly Hills Cop, Buddy Cop, Lethal Weapon kind of over the top shenanigans, goofball. No, I don't want that. I've always wanted to see the full origin of them. You know, we got little bits of it in the Transformers animated series. Over the years, they've done different things in the comics and such. But I would love to see this, but not this way.
Here's also the biggest fucking bullshit in all this. Chris Hemsworth is the voice of Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's no reason for that. It's not like because he's younger, he has a younger voice.
No. Fuck that. Brian Tyree Henry is the voice of Megatron.
Doesn't need to be.
Scarlett Johansson is Alita 1. Keegan-Michael Key is Bumblebee.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne is Alpha Trion, which, okay, that's cool.
So they've got all these big stars. But and
John Hamm is Sentinel Prime.
Yeah. I don't want to see it like this. Of course, I haven't watched a Transformers movie since, like, I can't remember which one it was, the third or the fourth one that Michael Bay did, where it was basically product placement in the movie. Like, Bud Light was everywhere, and Marky Mark.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Peter Cullen's alive. Why is he not the voice of Optimus Prime?
Yeah, Peter Collins lives. We just heard him in Invincible.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
He was the Viltrumite who was overseeing Alan's enhancement.
Now, I get it. Other people have voice acted him before. But that was fucking terrible and shouldn't have happened.
Yeah. And yeah, there's no reason for this.
No, Peter Cullen's alive. Peter Cullen should still be doing the voice of Optimus Prime. Peter Cullen should always be doing the voice of Optimus Prime. Peter Cullen is Optimus Prime.
Uh-huh.
Bumblebee the movie was pretty good. I watched Transformers Rise of the Beast because I did. Yeah, it's just the last night. Fuck no. I mean, it's hard, but I think Bumblebee was probably one of the best because we got like the 80s Transformers. So.
Gotcha. I still don't think I ever watched it.
We went to the what's it called? The big screen. IMAX.
IMAX?
Yeah, you and I went to the IMAX to see the first one.
No, I was talking Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah. But fair enough. But yeah, you and I went to the IMAX to see the first one.
Yep.
We walked out of there with mixed feelings.
Yes. And those mixed feelings became worse as we went into the second movie and all the dick jokes were there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was. Very unnecessary.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh my God.
So I sent you the trailer for Trap, and then later on you would send me the trailer for Trap.
Yeah. It looks good. I'll watch it.
I think it looks great. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Like I did one of those where partway through when he's, you know, we're not even halfway through the trailer and he's talking to the guy and he's like, oh yeah, the serial killer's here. And, you know, this whole thing was a trap for him. I'm like, oh, I bet he's the serial killer. And then like 2 seconds later, we see, oh yeah, he's the serial killer.
Yeah. They made it very obvious.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah. But Josh Hartnett, haven't seen him in a hot minute.
I feel like we haven't seen him in quite a long time.
Yeah. Let's see here. We finally got the official full trailer.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan film. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and apparently something about the concert, I didn't read too much into it, but I saw a fleeting headline. Something about the concert is like promoting his daughter's movie. His daughter just made her first movie, and I think like the character in the concert is...
Well, no, so... She is an R&B singer, songwriter, actress. She plays the lead character in the movie. And this is supposed to be the movie is supposed to be her character in this movie is supposed to spin off to her own movie about her singer, I guess.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so
So yeah, we finally got the full unadulterated trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine.
Yeah.
And they did not skimp on the fucks.
No, they did not. They did not at all. They did not shy away from the R rating. They embraced the R rating. I am so excited for this. Like I we're going. I don't give a shit. Yes.
Absolutely. Fucking 1000%.
I don't give a shit. We're going to this.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. Period.
It's like when the other day I was at the Texas Rangers game against the Washington Nationals and I texted Jay and I said, hey, they got beef brisket egg rolls here that they make at the stadium.
That sounds odd.
Oh, it was. And Jay's response is, Mike, I don't care how full you are. You're absolutely eating those tonight. And I was like, yes, I am. And they were so fucking good. Dude, anyone's ever at the Rangers game, go get yourself some egg roll briskets or beef brisket egg rolls. It is real egg roll wrapper.
and there's amazing beef brisket inside. They deep fry the fucking thing. It is so crispy and crunchy on the outside, and the beef brisket is so delicious and juicy and seasoned marvelously. They give you a little dipping cup of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. So good. So anyways,
so beef brisket egg rolls.
Yeah, beef brisket egg rolls. Yeah,
I think that's going to be the name of this episode. Somebody put up an amazing video again. Like Julia said, I don't know how these people recognize this stuff, but they put up a video showing that in the trailer we see a scene where Wolverine is trying to punch Deadpool over and over again and missing every time. Yep. And it is a shot for shot remake of the initial Flash Thompson, Peter Parker fight in Sam Raimi's first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's that was pretty damn badass. Cool. I love that they choreographed it like that.
Yep. That was pretty damn awesome. Where are we now? Oh, we have another Evil Dead movie coming. Yeah. And no, not the one we already know about, but another one after that. So we have two standalone Evil Dead movies in the works, both of the blessings of Sam Raimi and Rob Tapert and Bruce Campo.
Yep.
I'm here for it. I loved Evil Dead Rise. I love Fed Alvarez's Evil Dead. Fed Alvarez, man, he's probably one of my new favorite guys right now.
Really?
Well, not new favorite guys, because he's been around a while. But, like, whatever he's doing, fuck it, I'm watching it. I don't give a shit. Because he did Evil Dead in 2016. He did Don't Breathe. I mean, he did Evil Dead in 2013. He did Don't Breathe in 2016, which I also enjoyed. He did that 2022 Texas Chainsaw Massacre that I just watched the other day. He wrote, he produced it, and he was the story. It was based on his story. I'm like, all right. He's doing the new Alien Romulus coming up.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. Whatever he's doing, I'm apparently a big fan of. So yeah, that's about it. He's had his hands in, you know, Evil Dead, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Alien Romulus. And it looks like he's being tapped to do The Exorcist now, to take over on The Exorcist franchise.
Hmm.
So, yeah, there's that. But nice. Yep. I don't want to talk about that. Oh, Madam Web can be on Netflix in 8 days, 9 days.
Yeah. Yep. Which, like you said, I'll watch it.
I'll watch it, yeah. I mean, I'm going to watch it, but this is the best way to watch it.
We were going to go see it in the theater before it got absolutely destroyed and everyone talked about how awful it was. So I'm looking forward to that. I mean, I've watched Rebel Moon Part 1, so I can't imagine this is worse.
I don't think I can bring myself to watch Rebel Moon Part 2. I don't know if I can either.
I look back on the first part and I'm like, it was nice to be able to say everything that was wrong with it. But at the same time, it didn't enrich my life in any way possible. Like, I know this is going to be dog shit. I sent you the screenshot of the critics and the audience ratings, and they were all garbage. Like, I know this is going to be bad. I don't need to watch it to talk about how bad it is. I know that some people will say things like, you know, until you've experienced something, you have no right to talk on it. I think that I saw the first one, and I can safely say that I am qualified to talk about the second one.
Like I said, I tried. I got 10, 15 minutes in. There was already, like, immediately so much exposition and I was just like, oh, my God. No, I can't do this.
It's slow-mo.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. Yeah, I just can't. Neil McDonough is coming to season 2 of Tulsa King.
I'm so for that. I love him as an actor anyway, but I think seeing him opposite Stallone will be a good thing.
Yes, I agree. Let's see here. you sent me a trailer for a TV series coming to Apple Plus called Presumed Innocent.
Yep.
Created by David E. Kelley. It's based on a book, which I think previously had been done, made into a movie.
Sounds familiar.
Harrison Ford was in it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about a prosecutor charged with the murder of his colleague. An attractive and intelligent prosecutor. It's told a first.
And yet they got Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's told in the first point of view by the accused. That's Jake Gyllenhaal.
He's
the accused. But yeah, it was a novel that came out in 87, and in 1990, Harrison Ford starred in starred in it.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll give it a shot at some point. I like David E. Kelley, and
yeah, but it's on Apple, so you'd have to actually renew your subscription.
Well, I'll wait for all the episodes to come out. You know how that is.
Speaking of, I didn't send this to you, but they just wrapped filming of Severance Season 2. And I know you didn't watch the first season, but I really think you should go back and watch the first season and get ready for the second season. Because
that was
a dynamic show. I cannot wait for that to come back.
Okay.
I sent you a trailer that I honestly had to check it like 4 or 5 times to see if this was one of those, like somebody had uploaded it recently, but it came out years ago when this happened. But no, this is a brand new thing coming to Netflix. Ashley Madison's Sex, Lies, and Scandal. Like the Ashley Madison scandal happened a long time ago. And now we're getting a docuseries on it.
Yeah, it did happen a really long time ago. Interesting.
It seems weird that it's happening now, that we're getting this docuseries now. Like, I legitimately kept checking. I was like, no, let me go look over here. No, this is officially, Netflix has put this out, and it's coming shortly. So, kind of threw me off, but okay.
Well, let's see here. Hey, did you try those stuffed nachos yet?
No, I didn't even buy them because, you know, I'm vegetarian.
Oh, I thought they were in your cart.
No. Well, I put them in the cart to pose them so that you could see them.
Oh, I went and bought some.
How are they?
Very good.
Really?
Yes, they are very, very good. I couldn't tell you if they taste like the old El Paso taco rolls from 12 years ago when they last came out.
Mm-hmm.
But I can say that even though they're triangular shaped, they are absolutely the pizza roll dough, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're very good. Kate likes them as well. Like, now I would not race out and buy like and just stock up my freezer. So when the 2 bags I bought are gone, they're gone. And if they come out in the future again, I'd buy them. Because, I don't know, I maybe it's because I'm older, but like. But yeah, no, they're damn good.
The thing that killed it for me, especially, was when I was reading the ingredients and it said mozzarella.
Yes, it's mozzarella. Yep, I know.
Mozzarella should not be used in burritos, tacos, anything like that. It should be cheddar.
I agree.
Or Jack.
100% or Mexican crema.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, I agree with you there. Did you like the Sky TV clip I sent you where David Tennant, like they were asking him a Doctor Who question and he's like, that's his fucking father-in-law. You know?
How embarrassing will it be if I get it wrong?
Yeah, and then it's like the 11th Doctor. Who's the 11th Doctor? Isn't it Matt Smith? No, it's him right there. Like, and he's just trying to keep a straight face the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Peter Davidson, the 5th Doctor, family story. It's his fucking father-in-law. I do. I absolutely love the fact that David Tennant's father-in-law also played Doctor Who, and then he played Doctor Who twice now. I think it's wonderful. Let's see here. I kind of forgot about this, but not really.
Wesley and I watched A New Hope on Saturday on Star Wars Day for him to watch his first Star Wars movie. So that's about it there.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think the last thing we had shared. Yes, he did. He did. We're going to run the gamut.
It's like, are you going to give us the rundown?
Sorry. Or? I thought that was assumed. Because
I never assume. Yeah.
But yeah, no, he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it thoroughly. I cringed at the newly added scenes because I'm still like, Mike, why? But whatever. Just get over it, Mike. It was fucking 30 years ago. The movies have been released longer with the additional scenes than they had been out without them, right? That's how you got to look at it.
Yep.
And then the last thing was James Gunn shared an image of the new Superman.
Yep.
David put his boots on because it's time to go to work.
With, did you notice, the red trunks?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And the big floating eye thing in the sky, people are speculating it's Brainiac, possibly.
I mean, they're not going to run an origin story, I hope, right?
No, I can't imagine that they would. It's like Batman. Everybody knows the origin story of Superman. It's unnecessary at this point. They didn't do the origin story for Spider-Man in the MCU. Tom Holland's version, at least. So, yeah. I don't think they need it.
That is true.
There were a couple of things that popped up tonight that I didn't send you that I'll share now. Well, one of them, it's not really that it popped up, but I just wanted to remind you that this Friday on Disney, we're getting the first two episodes of Doctor Who, the new season.
This Thursday?
This Friday.
I mean, this Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, episode 1 and 2 are coming out this Friday. Space Babies and the Devil's Cord. Yeah. And I got to say, like, watching season 1 and now part of season 2 of Sex Education and seeing Shuri Gatwa as Eric in that.
Yeah.
Makes me that much more excited to watch this season of Doctor. Because, I mean, we've seen him briefly, but holy shit, the guy chews every scene that he is in. And when he's the main character, it's going to be legendary.
Nice. I'm looking forward to it. It was great seeing them, you know, side by each with David Tennant and everything, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Abigail is coming to digital video tomorrow. Now, that's not Netflix or anything, but that's the one with the little vampire ballerina girl where the people kidnap her. We almost went to see that instead of Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, and we chose differently. And then the next week, we went to look and it was gone, and it's coming out on digital tomorrow. So that means that it'll probably be released on one of the big series, you know, within a month or so.
Well, there's some other stuff that just recently came out on digital that I do want to check out at some point. And I can't decide if I'm just going to say F it and rent them or wait a little bit longer. But Monkey Man is out for premium new release.
Yep.
And Love Lies Bleeding.
Which one was that?
That is the one that has the very built bodybuilder woman and Kristen Stewart.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some crime. Immaculate. And then that Liam Neeson's movie in the Land of Satan Sinners.
Mm, yep.
So.
The other thing, I thought this was interesting, this popped up tonight. So apparently this is the summer movie kickoff weekend for the theaters. This past weekend, the first weekend of May is always kicks off the summer theater. 2024 summer box office season kicked off, and it is the worst one in 20 years.
Maybe it's because we didn't know it was the kickoff.
Well, no, it says no movie from 2004 on has opened lower than $29 million on the first weekend of May. For the last 15 years, we've had Marvel movies, blah, blah, blah. Fall Guy was the opening one, and it debuted to $28.5 million, which, granted, it only missed it by $500,000, but that set a record. The previous last time this happened was the Lizzie McGuire movie on May 2nd, 2003, which I don't consider that a summer blockbuster, no. Obviously, but that was their big opener and it debuted with $17.3 million. But The Matrix Reloaded came the next weekend or the next week, $91.7 million.
So just seeing how we're talking about it, and I pulled it up. I'm just going to run down through the list. Okay. So okay. These are the summer movies they're talking about. And like you said, it kicked off with The Fall Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And as it says here, summer movie season's upon us. So May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. May 17th, If, which the If character was at the Rangers game walking around at the beginning of the game. And they had a big, like backing, people could take their pictures in front of it with it, and he was walking around. The Garfield movie, that's a summer movie thing, whatever. And the same day, May 24th, is Furiosa. And then June 7th, Bad Boys, Ride or Die. June 14th, Inside Out. Hold on.
Two.
Inside Out 2. June 28th and August 16th, Horizon, American Saga. Now, I am looking forward. It's a mega-budget, multi-part Western epic. So far removed from the kids of movies Hollywood makes nowadays, the star had to largely finance the film himself. And yes, I said films, because no matter how the first movie fares at the box office, the sequel is coming out less than 2 months later. So we'll see what happens. A Quiet Place Day One. Why?
Yeah, no.
Beverly Hills Cop 3, Axel F. Now that's a Netflix movie, so I do want to watch this though. July 3rd. Also July 3rd, Despicable Me 4. July 19th, Twisters. Because we needed a sequel to Twister. Like it's been 30 something years. Like just Deadpool and Wolverine, June 26th. Hell yeah. Or July.
June 26th or July?
Okay. July. It says June, but it's July.
Yeah.
August 19th, Trap. Sorry, August 9th, Trap. Borderlands, August 9th. August 16th, Alien Romulus. It was supposed to debut on Hulu, but the runaway success of Prey. They're throwing that in the theaters instead. August 23rd, The Crow. Okay. Yeah, that's it. I don't know. It's weird. There's no Marvel movie. Well, fuck, Deadpool Wolverine's the big Marvel movie, but it's still not. It's a Marvel movie, obviously, but it's not your traditional Marvel movie.
Right.
Damn. I mean.
So. Based on the list that you just gave me, I picked out maybe three or four movies that I want to see, but only one that I'm like, yes, I will definitely go to the theaters for that. That's, of course, Deadpool and Wolverine. We've talked about this before, but based on, you know, this failure of Fall Guy, which I do want to see.
I do want to see it as well. Perform,
and that lineup that you just gave me that is not that great. Plus, like I said, I went there the other day and had maybe six people in the theater with me. Add to that the fact that like the theaters are still exorbitantly expensive. Popcorn, soda, everything like that. Even the tickets are very expensive now. The movie was supposed to start at 7:40. After commercials and trailers, it was like 8:30. I mean, we sat through almost an hour of trailers and commercials.
Yep. And Mike's Jardiance taking 44-year-old body can't take that long without having to go pee.
Yeah. So it really – I saw your thing the other day that you forwarded or – reposted the Skowhegan drive-in basically saying, hey, we're closed, but you know, get out there and support the three remaining ones in Maine.
Yep.
I think honestly that we're going to see a death of big budget cinema, you know, movie theaters. You're going to see the indie theaters stay open. You know, you're going to see the, you're going to see somebody keep a theater open so that they can do second runs or, you know, maybe some niche movies, stuff like that. But I think we're going to see within our lifetime the death of the big budget cinema type thing. You know, 3D never made it. IMAX, you can't find those very often anymore. Not that they were ever plentiful to begin with. The drive-ins came back and now they're dying again. I think people are just enjoying more that they can rent it at home or that they can just wait for it to come out for free on Netflix or Max or whatever that they're already paying for. I know it's not free, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so, no, I know exactly what you mean.
I think it'll be sooner rather than later that we see this go away. Just like I predicted that for video stores. You know, it was the same kind of thing. No, we'll never lose video stores. People want to be able to rent their stuff. Well, now they can rent it digitally. And it's the same thing with movie theaters. You know, Abigail was there 2 weeks ago. And now tomorrow I'm going to be able to pay whatever it is, like $20 to rent it from the comfort of my home with my own snacks, put my feet up, be as comfortable as I want, pause it, turn the volume up or down.
Yeah. But I still like going to the theater.
And there are a number of people who do. But I think that it's a dying medium. It's a dying tradition.
I mean, I guess, yes, it is. I mean, like the Mahoning Drive-In in Pennsylvania has found its niche where they only show rerun movies. They don't show first run flicks. They show classic flicks. They do niche weekends. They do niche nights. You know, it's almost like you can draw more people with a retro movie than you can a brand new movie sometimes. You know, like Barbie, though. Barbie brought people in last year. Barbie brought in a lot of people. Hell, we went to the drive-in to watch Barbie. And I was shocked at how good the damn movie was.
Absolutely.
Yeah, looking at the list of the Phase 5 or Cinematic Universe, we got the Marvels last November, 6 months ago. We're getting Deadpool Wolverine this July.
Yep.
Because it's technically now part of it. But we're not getting another Marvel flick until February of 2025, Captain America Brave New World. That is shocking to me, quite frankly. But and then in 2025, we're getting four flicks. But we're getting Captain America Brave New World in February. We're getting the Thunderbolts on May 5th. And then that's the end of Phase 5. And then in Phase 6 is kicking off in July with Fantastic Four. And then Blade in November.
And again, that's all allegedly. Like, they've got them slated for these points, but
yeah,
we've seen them move a lot of these back over and over again.
Yeah, that's allegedly. You're right. Yeah. So. Excuse me very much on that yawn. I'm usually mute first. Anyhow. All right. Well, that's what I'm bringing to the party tonight.
That's all I've got.
That was a good long episode, but it is a month's worth of stuff, practically. It seems like.
Yeah.
Which, if you look at it that way, is not a lot.
No. But that's okay.
So, yeah, exactly. Anyhow, I'm on the social medias. I'm Superstar Mel.
The Quantum Geek, G33K.
I think that's it. That's our show.